people are like white knighting Waylon. I'm like, don't tell people stuff works when it don't. Hey everyone, welcome back to Linux Weekly, Daily Wednesdays, where we sit back, relax, take that midweek break, talk about some of the fun things going on in the world of Linux and open source. I'm Vin Stone, joined every week by Joe Bryan, and we're just hanging out in the pre-show, talking about things. We're talking about Strider. You know Strider, he's that wacko behind Lotrus. He's just talking about his favorite man crush, Steve, from Gamers Nexus. The boy can't get enough of him. He's posting pictures in our Discord. He's like, oh, Steve.
Aww.
It's so sweet. It's adorable. I really enjoy it. Man, Joe, what's going on with you? I saw that old Steve Husbando had another birthday celebration.
He did. It was
In all fairness, he typically only has one a year, though. I don't want to imply that he's, you know, being greedy with the birthdays, having multiple ones.
No, it was a really wonderful birthday, especially since it was his first day off work in several weeks. So he had a nice, relaxing birthday with our family, and he got lots of cool gifts and lots of good food. And it was actually really wonderful, just spending an evening with family. And I got him a big Barnes & Noble bookstore gift card, because that's one of his favorite places to go. And I got him some other little fun gifts in the shape of a black kitty cat. I got him, Vin, you'll like it. It's a cute little, it's a black kitty cat. Looks like our kitty cat Frodo, and it's one of those solar pets that its head and its tail wobbles back and forth. And he loved that. That was one of his favorites.
It's got the shakes when you put it out in the sun.
Yeah. And he took it to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, you got to hang out with us last night. You're back with Trackmania. Yeah. We do that on Tuesdays, where we get together and we do some retro tracking. If you're looking for that excuse, man, you're like, hey, I like playing old games. It's like 13 year old game. We got a little server, a little Linux server that we got set up. Now you can run Windows, you can run Irix, you can run HP UX, however you want to come and join us. And we do that at 5 p.m. and we come back and we do it on Friday. So I've been working on getting IP video going in and out through the studio. Yeah. That's something I talked about on Saturday, is getting everything switched back and forth, because I started playing around with, because I want to stay on top of the WebRTC integration into OBS and some of the stuff that's going to be coming in the future, that is going to really change the way you're able to stream between people. You know, let's say that you're streaming to Twitch, you're streaming to YouTube, you're streaming to TikTok because you're a broken individual, however you want to do it. And like, let's say you're doing like multiplayer, right? Like Jill's, we're playing, I don't know what was Gabe, me and Jill would normally play together. Talos Principle or Trackmania or something like that.
Talos Principle, definitely, yeah.
And you're only seeing my screen. I'm like, oh, it'd be cool if I could get Jill streamed. Like, traditionally, that's a pain, man. Like, trying to get somebody else's while you're streaming, like, with this WebRTC and this web support that's coming in, be able to add sources would be as simple as, like, Jill opening up OBS and going, boop, punching in my bits, and I could just pull it up as a source in OBS. It's going to change some things. Trying to stay on top of that. The moral of that story, it's not there yet. It's not there yet. I thought it would be interesting for trying to replace some of the stuff in the studio, because right now what I have set up is a quad 4K capture plus another capture card and a bunch of other capture cards on the three PCs. It's 13 HDMI cables to make all this work. I'm like, wouldn't it be nice if we could just replace all that with one fiber cable? Which I already have plugged in all the machines. I'm like, all right, let's try this, because we've already moved all the audio to IP. You know, there's no audio cables running around the studio, and there's like 27 tracks of audio taking place at any given time. It's all switched digitally. It's great. Doing that with the video. So I decided to revisit NDI. And you know NDI from New Tech, which has been around for a long time. Last time I did a video about using NDI on Linux, New Tech's like, hey, let's put that on our blog. And a lot of people saw it. Mm-hmm. NDI 5 is out, and OBS NDI, that's what we're using right now. So Jill's coming in over just digital bits, not coming in through the capture, coming in over the network. This little guy, you see, I go over there like blinking furiously. Like, what are you doing to me? That's a 10 gig fiber switch, slinging the bits around, and the video coming back to Jill is kind of going over the same way, same path, but it's getting turned into a virtual webcam, which is then tied into our Jitsi server, which Jill's getting, so Jill can see me like, hi, Jill, I can wave at you. Jill's like, hey, look, Ven's waving at me. And it hasn't exploded yet, so that's going to be really neat to be able to kind of reduce just that amount of insanity. Plus, it'll be good to do another guide for how do you get NDI up and working reliably on a modern system. Having a fun time with that. So if everything explodes, that's why. Lots of testing. Things to play with. Also, I think I figured out what I'm going to do with Thread Booper.
Oh.
I've been, what, like 2 years now, I've been eyeing. I'm patient. You know, you'll see when I do a video for like interfacing Linux, I'm like, I got a great deal on this. You're like, how did you get a great deal on that? And it's because I waited 3 years. That's how you get great deals. And I've been thinking about switching over to, you know, an Epic platform. But one of the reasons I'm like, okay, if I can reduce the need to have these capture cards and all this, I might be able to switch over to, like, you know, consumer, you know, regular AM5, because that'd be really neat. I'd save a lot of money. I don't want to do that just yet, because then I got to give up all these niceties that I've grown accustomed to, like having three NVMe drives all connected directly to the CPU and all of my SATA ports and my 2x16 slots and my 2x8. Like, I don't want to give that up.
Yeah.
I don't. But what I'm going to do is we're going to upgrade Thread Booper, because I've been on the eBays. I've been looking around. Now, I got a first gen 1920X in there, which kind of does what it needs to do. It's just getting slow because that's first gen Ryzen. You know, it's 2 6 cores that have been infinity fabriced into one chip. Now, as far as I can go on this Threadripper is the completely unhinged 2990WX, which I think is a 64 core CPU. Woo-hoo. No, yeah. Ain't no way in the world I'm getting that. That's a stupid CPU. It is. It's silly. It's beyond preposterous. Now, where do we go with that? Well, my dream CPU for the system has always been the 2970WX, which is a 24 core. But those things are still silly expensive, like $300-$400. However, this got me looking. I can get the 2950X, which is the 16 core Gen 2 Ryzen, for about $200. So I think that's going to be our upgrade path right there. Just kind of give Thread Booper maybe another year of life, maybe 2 years. There you go.
Yeah, that's stretch a good idea.
Because we're going to need a little bit extra processing power for the NDI stuff, and it'll work out. So yeah, there we go. We talked about that little blue card that showed up a couple of weeks ago. This guy. The sparkle. The sporkle. The scuffed sporkle after I got done cleaning it, because it didn't survive the cleaning very well. You don't want to use IPA alcohol to remove the thermal lube from the case, because it scuffs it really hard. That paint is on there, just not very good. So I have like a multi-colored version of this. This is the Sparkle Eco AV1. Why is this interesting? Because it's itsy bitsy. It's teeny tiny, and it's powered by the PCI Express hole. You don't need to plug anything extra into it, which means that you can put it into a low-profile little tiny thermal note box and not have to worry about extra power connectors. It's got HDMI on the back. It's got two mini display ports. And it's just the thing you need for HTPC, silent PC build. Now, because if you're looking at that, that's what got me curious. It's a single slot, half height blower fan. Now, if you know anything about Quadros, single slot coolers, blower fans, you know it's going to be loud. It's extraordinarily loud. But if you're watching the video, you're like, why are you taking off the blower fan assembly? And because I wanted to change the bracket out. And you got to do that for this card.
Lots of steps.
We were, there it is, being nice and scuffed. Ugh. But it does fit in the tiny, super small little thermal notebox that I built for Rectangle. And of course, I wanted to do some testing with this, which I did. Nothing terribly crazy, but I went ahead and walked through, hey, what does it take to get Intel Arc running on a modern Linux distribution, this being Debian testing? And before you're like, Debian's old, I said Debian testing, which tracks it very close to whatever the current version of Arch is, because it's a rolling release as well. How do you get the open source up and running? Do you even want to bother with the binary drivers? What about monitoring utilities? Well, I found the one that exists. And of course, AV1 encoding, because, you know, if you have a Jellyfin server, or if you want to transcode, if you want to live stream with the AV1 to YouTube, maybe in the future with Twitch, what does that look like? Got everything up and running, what you need to do for AV1 on OBS. Tried to get it running with Blender. Wasn't having it. Did a bunch of stuff, played around, and said, nope. But what really surprised me was getting it up and running with DaVinci Resolve, kinda to the point where it launched, until I tried to exit the cut page to go into the edit page, and just DaVinci Resolve froze, maybe in the future. But of course, we do have Handbrake AV1 encoding test as well. And this is where it really gets obvious, though, because on a 5600G encoding AV1, AV1's the new hotness. It's like H.265, but it's free. It's open source. If I'm going to encode a little 5-minute clip using the 5600G, it takes about 16 minutes, which that's a long time for a 5-minute clip. Now, if we do it utilizing the AV1 encoder in that Sparkle, we can do it in about 3 minutes. Like, ooh, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And even though the A310 is not a gaming card, so I really didn't bother. I should have went more in depth with this because I didn't think a bunch of people would be interested in the feedback that I've received over the past couple of months asking, like, are people interested in this stuff? I'm like, meh, maybe not. I didn't go into like 1% lows, or this is just, hey, does it run? Does it complete? We did superposition because how much faster is an A310 compared to the APU in the 5600G? About between 6 and 8% faster. So like superposition, 720p low, you're getting about 78 frames per second in superposition, while the 5600G is getting about 57. Like, it's not Talos Principle. We all know that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
720p high, the A310, 144, 5600G, 137. So better? Yes. A little bit, except for Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk was the weird one. 5600G at 39 frames per second, while the A310 only managed 31. How much is this going to set you back, though? Well, $99, and that's where it's kind of interesting, because it's super cheap, and it's nice and small. You got open source drivers. And even if you overlook a couple of things, but there's a really big downside, Jill.
Uh-oh.
It's extraordinarily loud.
Loud, yeah. I kind of knew that.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have known that by what? I'm not going to name names. I'm going to tell you, Arthur knows who I'm talking about, because Arthur, and again, thank you for this, because we got valuable information. He picked that up off of our wish list.
Yes.
The video I initially posted that started this adventure and was from a YouTube creator that I think is reasonably well known. And I watched that video. I'm like, that looks fun. Pretty dope little card. Okay. I wonder how that's going to work, you know, on Linux. Then we get the card. Then we find two things that bug me pretty hard that were glossed over in this YouTuber as a review of the Sparkle. One is that in order to change out the bracket, you have to remove the cooler.
And void the warranty, huh?
Air quotes, void the warranty sticker, right?
Yeah.
Which is not really enforceable. But how many times, like in my life, I think maybe 2 or 3 times I've had to remove the cooler from a GPU. That's not something most people ever have to do. Something's got to be wrong with the GPU before I'm even going to think about like popping that off and replacing it. Because then you got to deal with the thermal pads for the memory. It's not a good experience out of the box. That was never brought up in that video. And another thing was not addressed is the noise. And this thing's not, it's not just like, oh, well, you're being picky, you're being fussy. It's not, you know, because some people are like, well, it's not completely silent. I can't live with this torture. No, this thing, you don't want to be in the same room with it.
Yeah. It's like a Blade server.
It's as loud. If you've ever heard a Quadro at full tilt, imagine that at a higher pitch.
Yeah.
Like, you could not use this in a desktop. And knowing those two pieces of information, I'm not sure that I would have been interested in, because I was like, well, this might be an interesting card to add.
Yeah.
An AV1 encoder to, you know, a 30 series NVIDIA or a 60 series AMD. But you can't use it like that. It's too loud.
Yeah, it would be nice, you know, if another brand soon comes out with a single slot, low profile, and see how quiet it is compared.
But yeah, I'm very perplexed as to why that particular person on YouTube left out such critical stuff. You know, never ascribe malice when, but
yeah,
it was either just. It's too much, too big a thing to say oversight. You know, there's no oopsie there. I'm like, what was it? Because you got, you know, review samples from Sparkle and you don't want to upset them? I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, that was kind of wild. That definitely worries me. But yeah, big thanks to Arthurin. And the video's done very well, surprisingly.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't say surprisingly, but a lot of work went into it. I got about 37 hours clocked into the, you know, unboxing, testing, writing, production, post-production, article write-up. Head over to interfacinglinux.com. All the benchmarks, all the stuff's there. And yeah, I wasn't expecting, because we have Interfacing Linux has got its own YouTube thing now. It's, you know, the side project of the side project. And I didn't expect this one to... The video I'm in pre-production on right now, which is that Focusrite Solo Gen 4, because you want to have a couple of YouTube videos kind of just like sitting there before you make one that you know is going to get some traction. Why? Because you want people to subscribe to your channel and like you want to have other stuff sitting there for them to watch, you know? Not the one and done.
Yeah.
And I already had some stuff, you know, that's why I was putting, like, Vin, why are you making videos about real-time kernel and CUDA compilation? One, it's a long-burned video, you know, people are Googling for that, and but it's never going to be a high-traction video, but it's a information-dense, important video, and you know, a lot of those videos are just like low-key, slow-burn ones. This one, I expected, you know, maybe 1,000 views on eventually, like the Noctua thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get about 1,000 views on, people are just going to pop in out of curiosity, and like, it'll just slowly tick up over the years. And, yeah, put this out. It popped off Monday afternoon, well, evening, I think, and the YouTube algorithm looked at it for a second. It was like, I'll have me a bit of that. Oh, it just kind of shot up, and like we were looking at it before the show. Like it went from 300-400 views to like almost 10,000 right now.
Yeah, and, 75 comments and almost 600 likes.
600 likes and about 400 new subscribers. Now, this is what I want to focus on. I don't think I've ever seriously asked outside of like Smash That Bell Fam. If you got a YouTube account and you want to do Old Man Ven a solid, one thing we got to do is we got to get to 1,000 subscribers. Because right now there's no monetization, nothing. I mean, there's still ads on these videos. Old Man Ven ain't getting none of that. We are genuinely lighting money on fire right now. But we want to send a signal to that glue stick munching algorithm that people are interested in this type of content, you know, no nonsense, no BS. I'm still going to make jokes, people. It's me. But, you know, imagine if we could take some of the technical know-how of Strider's waifu, Steve, from Gamers Nexus, and mix it in with some of the nonsensical derpery of Jill's waifu, Linus, from Tech Tips.
Yes.
And we could throw down something like that. That's kind of what I've been envisioning for the channel. Later on, but yeah, you can do me a huge solid. There'll be a link in the description of this YouTube video, or head over to Interfacing Linux and just click subscribe. You can disable notifications, and it's not going to hurt my fees. And if you can do that, the quicker we can get to 1,000 subscribers,
yes,
that'll be great. That'll send a good signal to YouTube. And yeah, there's no Patreon or like, if you want to help out, you can join the Linux Gamecast Patreon, because that math equation still works out. The less money I spend here, the more money I can spend there. And of course, there's a Amazon wish list for interfacing Linux, but it's just full of like video cards. Like, I think the next thing I want to do is like build an AIM5 test bench. I want to do this stuff. Like, I want to do like AV1 compare. Like, what is the difference? Real questions do I have? What's the difference between AV1 on like quality wise between AMD, Intel, and NVIDIA?
Mm-hmm.
Gaming benchmarks. I know gaming benchmarks are silly, but that's a good indicator. Like, when you look at something and you're like, hey, those are games I actually play. And I know how fast they run on my existing GPU. I could make those comparisons. I'd like to do something like that. Maybe in the future. Stay tuned. InterfacingLinux.com. .tom, yes. Don't go to .tom. I don't think that's a legitimate top-level domain. But if it is, let me know in the comments. But yeah, thanks everybody for checking out the video. And
yay.
We'll do some more. I didn't expect this video to pop off. Our Theron is responsible, legally blind in chat. Everybody give a
he sure is.
A round of feet for that.
Yay.
Kind of caught me off guard. Like I said, I thought a couple of people would watch the video, but this one's got an interesting, it still has a hockey stick trajectory according to the analytics. So we'll see where it's at next week, but it's good. Getting some new people looking at like, hey, Linux can do this other stuff. And I'm like, yes, it can. Absolutely. That's awesome. Let's get everybody together, get them informed, get them the right information, accurate stuff without the just static and nonsensical crap that has turned into what YouTube is these days, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Misinformation.
Just silly yeah. stuff. So if we can do a retro YouTube channel where just honest with you and tell you what things do and test them correctly. I know that sounds crazy, but yeah, that's in the future. We're just going to see how it plays out. Rock and roll. Go check it out now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been chilling for 30 minutes. Yeah. Jill, talk
that
about
great.
every Linux user's favorite GPU company.
Yeah. So this is something really exciting. Have you ever wondered why some Linux users have issues with NVIDIA GPUs on Wayland and some don't? I mean, I never have, but I know so many people who have had issues. Well, there's actually a fix that was just recently merged in the Wayland protocol called explicit synchronization. And explicit synchronization is actually really nicely explained by Marias Nestor over at 9to5linux.com as explicit sync. It's a new protocol based on DRM synchronization objects where apps explicitly tell the user space graphics driver, kernel, or compositor when rendering is complete. Until now, when apps rendered things, they weren't rendered immediately. This method is called implicit sync and involves apps recording a list of commands with the OpenGL or Vulkan drivers for the graphics card to execute, which could lead to the issues some of you are experiencing with NVIDIA and Wayland. I just thought that was a marvelous explanation. And, you know, one of the issues with implicit sync is that sometimes apps aren't aware which tasks it is synchronized to, and thus, you know, accidentally aligning to GPU commands having nothing to do with the task at hand. And these accidental synchronizations will no longer happen with explicit sync. And explicit sync will actually boost performance because it gets rid of the middleman between the drivers and apps and tells them directly instead of having to look at a list of commands and then their dependency tasks. So it's much more efficient. And this is really great news for NVIDIA GPU users on Wayland. And as the explicit sync protocol makes its way to Wayland compositors, it is actually a huge step to adopting Wayland on Linux. And the NVIDIA proprietary drivers can live in harmony with the open source AMD and Intel Mesa drivers on Wayland.
We're getting really close within sight to where Wayland is going to reach feature parity with X.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there.
That's great. There's still a smorgasbord of like, well, that doesn't work yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And like some people Well, you know, we talked about this on like Linux Gamecast. Like, people are like white knighting Wayland. I'm like, don't tell people stuff works when it don't.
Yeah.
If Wayland works for you and everything that you do, that's awesome. You keep using it. You're the ones we need out there using Wayland. Report those bugs.
Yeah, there's still a bit of bugs. I'm right now been 24/7 on Wayland, and it has been fine for me for the apps that I've needed to use. But there are issues, like with doing screen capturing and some video apps not working. But things are getting fixed.
Yeah, this is good to see. And it was fun listening to you trying not to mix up, because your brain wants to desperately confuse implicit and explicit.
Explicit, yeah. I was very careful.
That's a struggle.
Yeah.
Your brain's like, that's the same word, man. Just whatever. Oh, right. All right, we got another little thing in here.
Yeah, we do.
Endeavor OS on an ARM? Why would you want to run an operating system on your ARM, Joe Bryan? That seems silly.
Arch One's really nice, actually, on the Raspberry Pi. So this is really sad news in the Linux community. The ARM version of Arch-based Endeavor OS is no longer going to be developed for the ARM platform. And this is due to not having enough people to maintain it and enough time to keep it up to date with the x86-64 version. So this was, I put this in our show notes because this is a call out. If you're a developer interested in keeping the Endeavor OS ARM project going, contact the Endeavor OS team and the Endeavor OS ARM GitHub page and sign up to that. Because I'm just really sad to see this go. In fact, Endeavor OS was one of the first distros that I installed on my Raspberry Pi 4 and my newly acquired over 6 months ago Raspberry Pi 5.
Me? Not been terribly impressed with the Raspberry Pi 5. I think it's a good piece of kit. I think it's reasonable value for the price, but I wasn't blown away by it. And one of the things that has prevented me from picking it up is a good case. How long has that Raspberry Pi been out now?
Now it's been over 6 months. Yeah.
Somewhere in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yay, I'm happy now. Introducing the Argon Neo 5 M.2. The Argon Neo 5 exists, but now they have the M.2 NVMe PCI Express case for your Raspberry Pi 5 at $38, and it is sold out. And it's been sold out, except for yesterday when I was muddling. I'm like, maybe I should get it, and it wasn't sold out. Now it's sold out again. It's got the, it comes with the case, heatsink, clever design, and in the bottom you can route the that silly little PCI Express cable around and under it, and put your NVMe drive. And they got a nice little list of drive types, a couple of them, right?
Yeah.
Looks pro.
Yeah, it really does. And it looks like there's a little wiggle room for those drives that are maybe a little thicker, a little longer.
Yeah. I mean, and instead of putting that hat on the top, this is taking that silly little ribbon cable and routing it under the bottom. And, you know, it's a foot. Yeah. Don't call it a hat. Call it a foot.
Yeah, this is true.
And it sits under it. Really the only, like, I don't know. The one thing... It's got all the slots on the back, like my Argon One, which I'm, you know, I like it. Puts everything on the back. You got the two USB 2, two USB 3. Then you got the Ether noodle sitting back there, which is good. The only thing I don't like, and I understand why they had to do it, but I would have preferred an even taller case if it meant that I could have all the power and display output on the back as well.
Yeah.
Instead of like cool. having that hanging out of the side of the case. If I was like, no, again, I'm not going to have a display ever plugged into it. But if I did, you know, I would like, because that's one thing about the Argon One I have for Raspberry Pi 4 that's running the Jitsi server right now, is it put everything on the back.
Yeah, very
which
nice.
Is good. You know, I don't have to worry about it. I can just have it like taped down to the rack and just plug everything in the back. I don't have to worry about like routing cables from the side, which doesn't sound like a big deal until it is, then it can get on your nerves.
Mm-hmm.
I got to think a new member of our motley crew.
Yeah.
the Linux Gamecast family, the audience, the not a cult. One Casey Clism has decided to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/Linux Gamecast, making this show possible. We keep rocking and rolling with this, and we don't have weird ads, and we're not trying to sell you mattresses. This is completely creator funded with your support. Now, Casey's been around for a long time. He's like, I know that name.
Yeah.
Casey synced up, I remember hopped him into and... our Discord. Casey's like, yeah, but I'm like, hey, all right. Hey, it's always good to see new people when they come in, because you get the big welcome parade and everyone jumps on you. And, you know, like, except for, you know, we're like, fresh meat, which is good too, because you kind of sets it up. We have a very, very good Discord server that is just all over the place. It's great, filled with smart people. You got Linux questions. They got Linux answers, and I'm in there too. Jordan's in there, Jill's in there, Pedro's in there. We don't just have it to the side and like occasionally visit. Nope, we're in there chatting, getting stuff done 7 days a week. I want to thank you very much, Case Clism, for becoming our latest patron. And if you'd like to do that, patreon.com/Linux Gamecast, best way to support the show. And thanks everybody for subscribing to Interfacing Linux. That was dope.
Cool. Yay.
Okay, can we do some credits?
Thank you, and Linux love to you all. Yay, we have our advisors, Omegas and Artharin, and thanks again, Artharin, for all you have done. Our executive producers, Barbrant, Scott M., our Chicago Kicks people, Empty, Blasphemia, King Bonge, and our Sea Monsters, Hakeem, David, Darkwing, System T, Mark, DSNG, Joe, Dirty Dean, our Death Notes, Back, Dodger, Rue, Turnover, our Cherlings. Oh my gosh, so many, I can't name them all that quickly. I only got through a very few.
You know what I can do next week? I'm going to render that out at not 0.3 speed, so it takes about 4 minutes.
Oh, that would be cool. Let's see if we can do that.
If you get a chance, Jordan's going to be back tomorrow, live stream, twitch.tv/LinuxGamecast. No idea. I might be joining him because we were threatening to do something together on Thursdays. It just, we're going to see how that plays out. But thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Love you all.